many of us are looking forward to watching the Green Bay Packers play again this season. There won't be any lack of coverage of the Pack or other football teams on our TV screens for the next few months. But what sport doesn't get the attention that you think it deserves? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 19th. We noticed that ESPN Magazine is asking its readers to vote for their favorite chronically ignored sport. And presumably the winners will get more attention in a fan-sourced issue. So we thought we'd ask you, what sporting activity do you want to see more of in the sports media? ESPN gave some examples such as wrestling, lacrosse, softball, motocross, rugby. What about you? Do you have a favorite sport that you like to follow that you don't see much coverage of? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Andrew Billings, director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication and the Ronald Reagan Chair of Broadcasting. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being back with us.
Sure.
So what do you think of, sounds like it might be a good marketing idea, but what do you think of ESPN asking its readers to nominate or vote for chronically ignored sports?
Oh, well, I think it's an interesting exercise, if nothing else, in just acknowledging that some sports have been ignored that a lot of people are interested in as a step forward.
And why do you say it's a step forward?
Well, because I think the assumption when we got more cable channels and we got more internet options was that every sport was going to get a ton of coverage and you could really find a place for it. And what happened was the coverage didn't get wider, it got deeper. So if you'll notice, I mean, this month right now is dominated like it's never been before by preseason football. Mm-hmm. And what we found, you know, in a series of studies is, for instance, I have a more recent study that found over 80% of coverage is now devoted to the three major sports, football, baseball, and basketball. That's an all-time high. So if anything, those sports have been pushed to the corners if they're not one of the big three.
And so why the concentration of coverage on these three sports?
They simply move the needle in the way nothing else can, and also they offer enough programming to really fit within the seasons. So even though people will say, is baseball dying, the numbers don't seem to indicate it. Attendance records are high. It's got 162 regular season games, plus all the playoffs. It can fill that interest. The other thing is, and I'm sure we'll probably get into some of these other sports here, every other sport seemingly doesn't check enough of the boxes for you. So it might be fun to play but not fun to watch. That tends to be a problem for some things where people say, oh, I'd love to do or play lacrosse, but watching it might not be my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the coverage of preseason football, this is this typical that there's so much even in the preseason?
Well, it's gotten bigger and bigger, and that's a sign that the NFL has really taken over. So I think last time I was on your show, I said the three major sports in this country aren't football, baseball, and basketball. They are pro football, college football, and off-season football.
Right.
And that is where we're at. So the coverage of those stories that build up to the regular season, whether that's preseason football or the NFL draft, are getting more attention than ever before.
Yeah, and in part, especially with all football right now, it's because when you say it moves the needle, that's what we're watching. That's what's getting the ratings, or that's what's where the interest of the public is.
Right. So, for instance, I haven't looked at the rating for the Cleveland Browns and the Washington Redskins last night, but I can already tell you that it's going to score better than any regular season baseball game. It's going to do better than most, if not all, regular season NBA games. So they're going to put it on because people will watch. That's how big football is. And that's the same thing with college bowl season. We say there's too many bowl games, and the bottom line is everyone, you know, does have an interest in them. There's enough there to move the needle that that's still a cash cow for ESPN.
Well, ESPN Magazine offered its readers five choices of sports that it could cover in this upcoming issue: softball, lacrosse, wrestling, motocross, and rugby. Any idea why it might have picked these sports?
Well, it seems to be a grab at the younger fan, at least for a number of these. So especially, for instance, lacrosse, rugby, and motocross all seem to skew younger. They tend to be growing club-level sports at the college level, if not varsity-level sports, for instance, with lacrosse. And so there seems to be an appeal there. The other two, softball and wrestling, are interesting because I think most would argue wrestling has peaked. And some people indicate the decline is because of Title IX. Some indicate decline for other reasons. But that's an interesting inclusion to me. And softball, it's always been this one that gradually grows, and certainly we see, for instance, I'm at the University of Alabama. I think most people may be surprised that every single softball game will sell out. That, you know, yes, we care about our football, but our softball team's awfully good, and if you show up and want a seat, chances are you're sitting in the outfield on the grass because there's no actual seat there.
Wow.
So at least from the college or university affiliation, these are sports that can be quite popular.
Yeah, when you mentioned Title IX and softball, that reminded me that it was some years ago now, but the men's softball team at UW-Madison went away, and there is a UW-Madison women's softball, or I should say, I guess, baseball is what it was for the men. So how has Title IX affected that?
Well, there, you know, without doing a whole other show on that, what we can say is there are three different ways to comply with Title IX, and certainly one that really becomes pressing is the number of athletes you have competing. That needs to be within plus or minus 5% of what your student body population is. Well, the issue there, of course, is football, because it's got 85 full-time scholarship athletes. And especially like a UW-Madison is not going to say, oh, we can survive on just 60. They're going to use all 85 because football drives the entire athletic department. So you start with a sport that has 85 scholarships versus zero because there is no football equivalent for women. And the result tended to be that you'd have fewer men's varsity sports beyond the revenue generators and more varsity sports for women, which in some places it's softball. Other places it might be the addition of a rowing team, which usually crew takes up quite a few people. It could be things like golf or gymnastics. But those secondary sports beyond football and basketball, the revenue generators, tend to be offered for women more than men.
So do you have a favorite chronically ignored sport yourself?
Well, you know, the one I have, I'm not even a fan of, and it's not on the list, but it's one that I think is still one to watch, and that is mixed martial arts.
Oh.
To me, there was a really interesting statistic that happened in 2007, just, you know, 7 years ago, and the numbers have gone up from there. So mixed martial arts, or ultimate fighting championship, as some people call it, it scored a higher rating, or it had more viewers in the 18 to 34 demographic one night in the fall than World Series Game 1.
That's interesting,
and
isn't it?
And when you think about that, it was even more astounding because the ultimate fighting championship was a pay-per-view. So people had to pay to watch that, and still more people in that younger demographic were watching that for a cost than they were watching Game 1 of the World Series for free. Those numbers have gone up since then. I don't know if it can move up into that upper echelon, but that's the one that I would watch, perhaps even more than the ones ESPN mentioned.
We're talking with Andrew Billings, director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication and the Ronald Reagan Chair of Broadcasting, about sports coverage, about the coverage of different sports in the media, why football is king, and some of the other sports that we might enjoy if we saw them more. We're talking about lesser seen sports, lesser covered sports. Do you have a favorite sport or one that you enjoy that you would like to see get some more coverage on television or in the sports media in general? Let us know what it is and why, or any questions you might have for our guest. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about sports coverage. ESPN Magazine is calling on its readers to vote for their favorite chronically ignored sport. And we'd like you to do that too. The options that ESPN is putting out there include wrestling, lacrosse, softball, motocross, and rugby. Which of those would you want to see or read more about? Or is there another favorite lesser-covered sport that you would like to see more coverage on? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, other than football, what sport would you like to see covered more in the sports media? Andrew Billings is our guest, director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication. And we have on Facebook, Brad, who writes, lacrosse, the true American sport. You know what? I don't know a whole lot about lacrosse, Andrew Billings. What can you tell us about it?
But boy, you know, it's not one that I'd be an expert on either. And I think that's the point of the whole exercise, is to try and get some people like you or like me to be watching lacrosse or consuming lacrosse a little bit more. It certainly looks like a fun game. I've got a son who enjoys playing it, but once again, it's about finding that critical mass. So, for instance, for us, if he wanted to be in a lacrosse league, he would have to travel an hour away. And so that's your problem with getting a sport like that started. Is you've got to find a group of people, because really these sports are not just about getting coverage, it's about having something that you can have a common conversation about.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's my way of deflecting and saying, right, lacrosse, and I don't know much about.
Yeah, we didn't expect you to be the sports authority on all of these,
right,
lesser covered sport, but it's interesting that he's calling it the true American sport. So maybe that is something that originated here. Steve in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering what your guests thought about collegiate wrestling and the fact that the International Olympic Committee wants to pull wrestling, the original Olympic sport, from the Olympics due to the fact that I've heard that it doesn't cover well on TV. I'm just wondering what your guests thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, to me, I'm vehemently against eliminating wrestling in the Olympics. And, you know, I guess I've become a traditionalist with that. And wrestling really was one of the original sports in the Olympics, in the modern Olympics, and I'd love to keep that tradition there. I guess I'm more sympathetic when they want to eliminate a sport if it's the case that the majority of the world does not play it, or if there's a large, large competitive imbalance. But at the same time, that's not the case with wrestling. So if they simply say, I mean, they'll say it's not appealing on TV. The other thing is they're simply trying to control the number of athletes that are attending the Olympics to keep that from getting out of control. That's why we have rugby sevens rather than full rugby teams. That's why it's harder to get certain sports added on than a sport where maybe each nation might only bring two or three athletes. But, you're right. I think there needs to be more coverage of college wrestling. I think there is an interest there. If you look at the comments on the Facebook page for ESPN, the magazine's fan sourced issue, it looks like, at least from my rudimentary view, that wrestling's winning out of those five.
Yeah.
So I think there is a pent-up demand for that, and it would be interesting to see if that could come back. But regardless, I think it's got to remain in the Olympics.
So, Steve, would you like to see more coverage of wrestling? Is that the sport that you think?
That's my sport, and I agree with mixed martial arts. You know, it's got quite a following, but its basis is in wrestling, you know, and boxing and wrestling and kickboxing. But what I get a kick out of is, you know, you have these sports that, you know, in the Olympics you have table tennis, which it's table tennis while the Olympics are running, but every other day of the year it's ping pong. You know, so it's just, you know, to me it's a sport, you know, but I can't see kicking out one of the original combative Olympic sports just because it doesn't cover well on TV. I find that argument silly.
Thank you very much, Steve. So while you say that maybe it's not appealing on TV might be an excuse, what does that exactly mean if a sport is not something that's appealing on TV?
Well, I mean there are certain sports that are built for television. Football is built for television. You've got, you know, a series of plays, a natural break. You know, baseball is still built for television. It's got basically 18 half innings that you can break things down. Soccer is not built for television. It's hard to show all of the people moving in different directions. There are no timeouts during a half. It's hard for commercial breaks. So that's really the catch is, for instance, we'll say mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts is perfect for media consumption. It's got short rounds. You know, the fights don't last, you know, forever. It's going to do far better than something like, let's say, the Tour de France, which certainly there are far more people who participate in cycling, but no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, but very, very few. It's not going to move the needle for people who want to watch each stage of the Tour de France from beginning to end.
You're right about wrestling. We have Deb on Facebook who says, wrestling.
Yes.
Toughest sport, gets the least amount of coverage. But then again, also on the ESPN magazine Facebook page, roller derby has been suggested many times. Is that a growing sport?
Well, you know, for a while, people have been, you know, wondering if roller derby was going to really make it over the hump and become more popular. I'm trying to remember the name of, there was a Drew Barrymore movie, Whippet was what it was called. I think it came out about 10 years ago that was based on team roller derby. And people were wondering if that would be a tipping point. It never seems to have really tipped. That doesn't mean it's gotten less popular, but it's stayed as a niche sport. And I guess that's one thing to note, too, is there are certain things, I guess, in radio terminology, you know, you've got your P1s, which are your core listeners. And there are certain sports that have a ton of core people who are committed to it. Hockey is an example of, if you're really into hockey, you know, that's probably your number one sport. It doesn't have a whole lot of people beyond that. There are other sports that are the opposite, golf, something like that, where most people wouldn't tune in on a weekend, but let's say it's Tiger versus Phil or Rory McIlroy or something on the Sunday of a major, that number is going to skyrocket because now they're in. So it's those secondary fans that can start to move the needle.
I wonder if roller derby is a niche sport for public radio listeners because we have public radio producers who are on the the Madison area teams. It's that popular.
Really?
Yeah, there's a roller derby league in Wisconsin, and some of the communities, including Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, others have roller derby teams.
Well, and that's the thing to note here, too, is there is a regionality to a lot of these sports. So, for instance, in the Midwest, wrestling is going to be more popular than other parts of the country. If you're looking for where lacrosse is most popular, it's in the Northeast. It's in the New England states, and you'll actually find varsity high school teams there, whereas in other parts of the country, you wouldn't necessarily have that. So every part of the country seems to have their own vote for a secondary sport that either people are playing more or interested in consuming more. It's just trying to get something to coalesce over any one or two sports to move it up to be a rival with those others.
Well, thanks to Jim from Montreal who called. He says that wrestling was the true American sport because Native Americans, the Iroquois more specifically, made, created the game of lacrosse. So that's why he calls it the true American sport. We'll talk about other favorite sports that you think are not getting the coverage that they deserve, especially on television, but also in general. We are talking about sports coverage because ESPN Magazine is calling on its readers to vote for their favorite chronically ignored sport. What is your favorite sport that doesn't get the coverage that you would like? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Andrew Billings, director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication, and we will continue after we check the latest news. We are already seeing plenty of football preseason coverage on our television screens, and the baseball season is beginning to wind down, but we'll certainly be seeing plenty of coverage on TV for the coming months. There's lots of coverage for the first tier of sports, football, baseball, basketball, but what about other sports that don't get the coverage that you think they deserve? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Tuesday, August 19th. We noticed that ESPN Magazine is calling on its readers to vote for their favorite chronically ignored sport. What is the most chronically ignored sport as far as you are concerned? Do you have a favorite sport that doesn't get much coverage? Tell us about it and why you enjoy it and why you would like to see more coverage of it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about the coverage of sports in our media and why certain sports get more of it, and maybe some of the sports we might be seeing getting more of it. Andrew Billings is the director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication and the Ronald Reagan Chair of Broadcasting. And Andrew, we have talked some about those sports that get a lot of coverage, including football and baseball and basketball. What are the second tier sports?
Well, there tend to be four, at least from a media rating standpoint. And those are hockey, golf, NASCAR, and tennis. Now, those four do very different things. For instance, hockey never draws a big number. Even a Stanley Cup final game is going to draw a 3 or a 4, whereas the Sunday of the Masters might draw 9 or 10 for golf. But it's all about quantity versus quality. So there's a ton of quantity for hockey, and that's why some people will even talk about hockey being part of the big four sports. Whereas golf, it tends to be those major tournaments along with the Ryder Cup, which we'll have again this year. Tennis, it's about the majors. And NASCAR really is unique in that, yes, you know, for the core NASCAR fan, there's something you can follow every day, from qualifying to penalties to all sorts of various things. But the bottom line is the core NASCAR fan is tuning in on Sunday afternoon or evening and watching that single race. So you get a lot of eyeballs at a single race at a single time. But those would be the sports 4 through 7, I think, on our ranking list for what moves the needle.
And then is there a third tier as well?
I think that's where we get into these other sports. They're very... they have a lot of interest. They tend to have a number of players that might exceed 1 million people in this country, but for various reasons they're hard to show on TV. And as I mentioned before, the key is to actually get some common conversation about it. If you have one singular star you can quadruple the rating, as we did with cycling with Lance Armstrong, at the height of his fame. So any one of these sports we're talking about here, if we have a rugby star, that the best player and best rugby player in the world comes from the United States, that's going to make a difference here, because that's what we find is whenever you can really have a personality or something that moves beyond the realm of the athletic event, then you've got all sorts of stories and they get covered in ways you haven't seen before. Just for an example, with one of those secondary sports, with NASCAR, most of their drivers are just known to NASCAR fans, but then you have a few that exceed that, like a Dale Earnhardt Jr. And Dale was just on the cover of TV Guide magazine. Well, other racers might get, on the cover of a sports magazine, but only Dale Jr. or a handful of those people could really move beyond the sports realm to be more of that celebrity stature.
Let's take a call from Tim in Whitewater. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, I really would like to see wrestling back in the Olympics. Why they did that, I'm not sure. It's an Olympic sport. But I agree, and you kind of touched on this. I happen to be involved in the sport of rugby, and what I see there is that in the 30 years that I've been involved, with the proliferation of cable TV, you can still pick up and watch games, and like when the World Cup is on, you'll pick that up on certain cable channels, and rugby has been one of the sports that's evolved a bit to the point where it's a 15-man sport, but to try and make it more palatable for viewers, there is a shorter version. It's called sevens, which is kind of like 3-on-3 basketball versus the regular 5-on-5, and so there's a big tournament in Vegas, and that gets some TV coverage on prime time, and it's going to be a trial sport in the Olympics. You mentioned a rugby star coming over here to America. Frankly, that would never happen. I can't imagine a world-class Brian Habana or one of the top rugby players ever coming over here and moving the needle at all. But, it's always going to be a niche sport, and I think those of us who are involved in it and play it understand that. And thank goodness that the cable and access is available out there, and you're happy for that.
Andrew?
Rugby, I think, faces a different set of circumstances than some of these sports in that, it's weird to say this, but it's a problem that it's so established and so popular elsewhere. And what I mean there is, the Rugby World Cup is a big deal for a lot of nations. And so for rugby to move up the ladder in the United States, we'd want to be a lot more competitive with that. Well, some of these other sports, motocross or some things that are built around the X Games, we can kind of hit the ground running and be exploring the growth of the sport along with the rest of the world. Rugby's very established, and so it's going to be very hard to build a team that is as centrally popular and as successful as some other nations. So in many ways, it kind of fits that realm of soccer, which is, boy, to be really successful and to get soccer to move the needle in this country, you've got to really be at a high level, and some other people have gotten a lot more of a head start with it.
Yeah. Is rugby built for TV?
I would say so. I think it's, the bottom line is that there's enough movement, there's enough things to watch, there's enough scoring. And I'll also say, too, lots of people say that, once they find out how violent football is, they'll turn it off, but there's no evidence that indicates that that's the case. If anything, having a highly physical sport, which rugby is, only will drive more attendance to the games and more eyeballs to the screens. There's a number of things that are going for it there, but the thing that's really hindering it, I think, is that this is another one where the U.S. would come late to the party.
Mike in Madison is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead. What do you think?
Disc golf is not to mention. I don't think this morning, at least as far as I've heard, disc golf in Madison is a huge deal. It's now pay to play. It's just bringing a lot of money to the local park systems, and this weekend is, in fact, the Mad City Open. which is a huge event in Madison for disc golfers nationwide. In fact, there will be people and pros coming from all over the country.
Yeah, I guess I've never seen disc golf on TV, Andrew.
I have not either. I have played it. I will agree it's a lot of fun. I think this is true with a lot of sports too, right? So you could put that on air and people would say, oh gosh, I can't imagine people watch that. Well, I mean, ESPN put poker on the air and all of a sudden people tuned in.
That's
so they
right.
show more poker. You never know really what's going to take off. The key, I think, is, you know, so for disc golf, you've got to give people a sense of what is really spectacular, what makes one person better than something else. So sometimes, you know, if we see a tremendous dunk in basketball, or if we see someone running a mile, you know, in a lot quicker time than we would, then we have a sense of just how amazing it is to watch, and there's some level of grandeur to it. I think that's the problem with something like disc golf is, you know, it'd be a little bit harder to show on TV. It'd be a lot harder, I think, to write about in something like the ESPN, the magazine, and get a sense of, okay, if this is the best disc golfer in the world, why? What characteristics do they have that others don't? And I'm sure those characteristics are there, but it's translating it, I think, would be the big question.
Justin in Green Bay wonders, what about gymnastics? College gymnastics, et cetera, it only tends to be covered during major competitions.
At the University of Alabama, college gymnastics is huge. And certainly part of that is because our team is very successful and has done very well. But it takes place in our basketball arena, and it sells out. Mm. When we have a gymnastics meet, you know, we'll have 13,000 people there for gymnastics. Gymnastics is arguably, though, better on television. You know, I think it's fun to be here and everything, but it's better on television in that many times you'll have multiple performances happening at once. So you'll have one team competing on the balance beam while another's on the uneven bars, and you can't watch them both at once, but on television they'll record different ones and show them in order. And that's what makes it very appealing for the Olympics, is because it's, you know, you can parse them out into segments. It can be very appealing there. So I think there is some appeal to that there. The catch there is getting people to have affiliations. You know, would it be team gymnastics beyond the college level? And once again, getting a sense of what makes that a translatable skill. I know, at least for me personally, I don't know enough about gymnastics that when I see, you know, when I watch a person do the vault, I can tell whether they stuck the landing or not. I cannot tell you whether they hit the elements while they were in the air in the way that they were supposed to.
Right.
And so it's educating the public, I think, that you'd have to do a lot more there. But it's a tremendous sport. It's appealing. It's hard to, I guess one thing I wanted to note was, you know, the number of injuries that happen in the sport sometimes preclude stars from being built. Gymnastics, I believe, is the third, it's number three on the number of injuries that we have in sport, behind football and cheerleading, officially is leading the way with number of injuries. But there's a lot of reasons to think gymnastics could be appealing to a larger number of people.
We are talking about the sports that we like, but that we don't think get enough coverage. We are talking with Andrew Billings, who is the director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication. He's telling us why certain sports get the coverage that they do, why football is king, and talking with us about this poll that's going on. ESPN Magazine, which is asking its readers to vote on their favorite sport that they think is chronically ignored. Some of the options that ESPN put forth: wrestling, lacrosse, softball, motocross, rugby. What about you? Do you have a favorite sport that you don't think gets as much coverage as you would like? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about sports coverage this hour, and we welcome your vote for the sport that you would like to see more of on your TV screen. What sports don't get the coverage that you think they deserve? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with the director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication and the Ronald Reagan Chair of Broadcasting, Andrew Billings. And our next caller is Dwayne in Hayward. Hello, Dwayne.
Good morning. The shooting sports don't get covered hardly at all by the major media. There are Olympic sports, you know, by athlons, you have skeet and trap shooting. In the U.S., you have three-gun shootings. I think it's more of a political statement by the major media not to cover the shooting sports than an actual, because there are millions and millions of shooters in the country.
Well, do you think there's a political reason for that, Andrew?
I can't say there isn't. I can say, at least from my perspective, it's just very hard to once again determine or to watch it and know, oh my gosh, they did well or they didn't do well. And you know, you can look at the target or things like that, but it's one of those that is a participation sport a lot more than consumption. So I think that's drawing that more than any political leanings. My guess is if they could find a way to move the needle on it, they would show more of those things there. Archery, I think, gets a little more coverage. It's still, you know, far on the outskirts, but part of that is because you can follow the arrow, whereas you cannot, you know, the eye cannot follow the bullet. So that is a hurdle, along with, once again, it's not something that our country tends to do as well as some other countries. So when you get into biathlon or things like that, that's not where our medals are most likely to be won at the Olympics.
Melissa in Racine is with us now. Hello, Melissa.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that overall I'd like to see more women's sports covered. It's not so much a particular sport, but just in general, I feel like the coverage is more scant.
Mm-hmm. And is she right, or is that changing, Andrew?
This is right in my wheelhouse, and I couldn't agree more. It is amazing to me that we continually get new record low numbers for women's coverage. So, for instance, I just completed a study with Brittany Young here at the University of Alabama. And we looked at that. We looked at SportsCenter versus the new Fox Sports Live sports newscast that they have on every night. And we compared when there was an Olympic time period, which we thought would be peak for women's sports, and then a fall period, which we didn't think. And, yes, you know, it spiked, I guess you can call it a spike, with the Olympics, but only to, you know, roughly 2% of all coverage going to women's sports. In the fall, it was not 2%, it was not 0.2%, it was 0.02% to women's sports. So that gives you an idea of just how much women's sports have been squeezed out. And there's certainly, when you consider that 35 to 40% of most viewers of ESPN products are women, you would think that you could cover women's sports more than that.
Yeah, I mean, are the sports coverers saying that it doesn't move the needle?
Well, I think the response would be that they simply can't put it on the flagship. So they won't put it on ESPN. They'll put women's sports on ESPN2. They'll point to covering women's March Madness and saying that coverage increases there. They just can't get a large enough number to justify bumping even, you know, NFL draft coverage for women's sports in the spring. Now, sometimes when they need inventory, you'll see on regular ESPN, you will see, for instance, softball when you get to the World Series. But the bottom line is, if you want to find women's sports, it tends to be at a secondary location, a secondary channel that you might have to look up. Or really, it's interesting to look at ESPNW, which is a online-only entity for ESPN. That's not necessarily women's sports, though. It's sports by women for women, but it's not necessarily about women. So you're still going to get NFL coverage on ESPNW.
So why is it important, Andrew, that there is more coverage of women's sports, or that we have more coverage of more diverse sports in general?
Well, because I think when people tune in to something, they see that, you know, the common mantra we have is sports are a reflection of society, and increasingly I'll say society is a reflection of sports. So if all you see are men playing sports, then I think over time a cultivating effect could occur where women start to think that just playing sports is not for them, or that they are outsiders within that. And certainly in many instances they are. And so I'd rather see the media lead towards progress rather than cement that outsider status.
Yeah, on the other hand, we have Kim on Facebook who says that she doesn't think any sports need more coverage. There is already too much coverage of sports. You want to put that into perspective for us?
Well, I mean, they offer it because people watch it. And so it's very hard to say too much of something if people are willing to pay it. I do believe the largest schism, for instance, for cable and satellite is with sports programming, because there are some people who aren't into sports programming, and if they actually looked at what proportion of their cable bill was dedicated to sports channels, it's really quite high. I think most people would be surprised if they look at their cable bill and see, okay, by far, number one is ESPN. And chances are, at least in the top three, if not number two, on your cable bill per channel is going to be the Fox Sports regional outlet that they'll offer there. So sports are the calling card for a lot of the high-cost products on your cable or satellite bill.
John in Algonquin, Illinois, is with us, and we're almost out of time, John.
Very quickly, regarding the future of soccer on TV with the cultural difference, Hispanics watch a lot of it and the Anglos don't. Do you see any difference or any change along the way for soccer, given increased numbers of Hispanics?
And, Andrew, we have less than a minute. We did have you on the last time during World Cup.
Yeah, the way I describe it is it's a buy. If you were buying a stock, you would want to buy it, not necessarily hold, but it's a slow build. So I think you're going to get a slow build over time, and all you're really missing is one true icon as an American star. And I think you can, you know, whether that's American or Hispanic, any U.S.-based star, you are going to really be able to move the needle.
Thank you very much for joining us again.
Thanks a lot.
Andrew Billings, director of the University of Alabama Program in Sports Communication. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Justin Williams for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.